when the people saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him has God the Father set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us not to work for the food which perishes, but for the food that endures to everlasting life. This portion of the gospel narrative takes place just after Christ had multiplied the loaves of bread and the fish to feed all the people. And the people are seeking Christ because, according to Jesus, they're seeking that bread that satisfies their physical hunger. But Christ doesn't want them to move in that direction. And he tells them to work for that which endures to life everlasting. He tells them to keep God in the number one position. Here Jesus is giving us our number one priority, our mission, our purpose, to live for the kingdom of God. The people, they are just thinking about their material benefit, their temporal comfort. But Christ is telling them, no, there's a whole lot more. You have to seek first the kingdom of God. That has to be our number one priority. During the Lenten season, we often, actually every year, we hear from the gospel where we hear about Jesus being tempted by the devil. Now Christ goes into the desert and he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights and he does battle with the spirit of evil. Christ is going to win. There's really no contest for him, but he's teaching us how to defeat the spirit of evil. The devil in his arrogance tempts Jesus to abandon his mission of saving souls. Now the devil cannot succeed, but this manifests the devil's hatred for Christ and the hatred that the devil has for the salvation of souls and the conversion of sinners. He will tempt the Son of God. And he tempts Jesus, who is very hungry physically, to turn a stone into bread to satisfy his physical need. But the price is big. You see, if Jesus had worked that miracle, it wasn't difficult for him to do that. After all, he has the creative power of God within him. But the price would have been he would have listened to the devil. And Jesus will not do that and says to the devil, and through that saying is teaching us, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." That's the same thing Jesus is teaching in this gospel I read to you. The people are looking for bread alone, but Christ wants them to live not by that, but by the word of God. The devil makes this temptation to all people. The temptation of the devil is for us to live for this world only, to forget our relationship to God, to forget that we have our own soul to save, to forget about heaven, hell, and judgment. If you think about Adam and Eve, that's what happened. Adam and Eve had everything. They had enough material possessions, and their relationship to God was so intuitive to their lives. He was so close to them, and they knew his love and his compassion and his reality in their life. And the devil tempted them. The devil tempted them to forget about their relationship to God and to live for the things of this world only. And what happened was by that disobedience to God, Adam and Eve made a little deal with the devil. And that deal really wasn't good for them or their descendants. Now that's the constant temptation from the spirit of evil, to get us to think only about the things of this world. Now the things of this world are important, it's all part of creation, but the devil wants us to worship the things of this world. Forget about our relationship to God. This temptation is constant. Anyone can cave into this temptation. We must be vigilant. What would happen if we lost this priority of seeking first the kingdom of God, this priority of working for that which endures to life eternal, which Christ will give us? Well, on a large scale, humanity would suffer tremendously, because if you don't have God at number one, then you basically wipe away the foundation of nearly all moral values, and then eventually anything would be okay. On a personal scale, and this is where we feel more this temptation, is in our own lives. If we don't keep our relationship to God at number one, if we don't seek to fulfill God's will always and everywhere as our number one priority, then we start making deals with the spirit of evil. We make deals with the devil. It could be like this: a little bit of lying, and what happens? Ooh, I told a lie, my life is a little easier now. I have a little more success, more power. I'm in a better situation, but I've just made a deal with the devil. Or a little bit of stealing. I steal this thing, and now my situation, life is much better than before. The sky hasn't fallen, everything seems okay, but I've made a deal with the devil. A little bit of hurting someone's life or killing someone's life, and that is another deal with the devil. A little bit of infidelity, unchastity, or things like impurity and pornography, a little bit of it, and you make a deal with the devil. A little bit of arrogance, of belittling other people, and there's that deal again. You're putting yourself above others. And what happens when you make these deals with the devil? Little by little, but usually very quickly, these things, these sins, become your lifestyle. They take you over, and they really, in the end, make your life miserable. All because you didn't get your priorities straight. You forgot about your relationship to God. You sought first the things of this world, and you no longer think about the health of your soul and the eternal destiny of your soul and your relationship to God. And now you're under the mastery of the spirit of evil. And when the devil becomes your master, he is a very cruel master. And everything that he gives, the bread that the devil gives, leaves you hungry. It leaves you famished spiritually, and it oppresses you. It can lead you into all kinds of trouble. Now, Christ wants us to live for the kingdom of God. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So Christ came to teach us that we have to get our priorities straight. We have to see that our relationship to God, that food for eternal life, is so important. And this part of the gospel, Jesus ultimately is talking about the sacrament of the Eucharist. That is the bread of life. It's Christ himself. So Jesus is telling us more specifically to live for the Eucharist. Now, Christ gave us the Eucharist as the very gift of his real presence in this world for us. And he wants us to live for the Eucharist because that is how we live for the kingdom of God. Here are some ways that we can really make effort to follow this teaching of Jesus. Number one, we need to make sure that we really are disciples of the Lord Jesus. That has to be our priority. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, at our homes, with our friends, in the workplace, whatever is going on in life, in our times of relaxing and vacation, we have to be disciples of Christ. You can't give that up. You give that up, then the devil starts to take you. If there is any area in our lives where we are tolerating these deals with the devil, even a little at a time in ways that are unseen, then we have got to repent. We need to confess our sins and repent. You know, when you go to Mass, when you go to the Eucharist, you always make an acknowledgement of your sinfulness. If your sins are serious against one of the Ten Commandments, you go to confession. Some people can get tired of this, though. They can be like, boy, every time I go to church, I'm told I got to acknowledge my sins. And I'm getting tired of that. Well, the word sin from the ancient language of the Old Testament can also be translated to miss the mark or to miss the target. So what's our target? Our target is heaven. Our target is to work for the food that endures forever. Well, sin is missing that target. So we need to acknowledge our sin to make sure that we're back on the right track. And that's what living for the Eucharist is. You go to Mass, you acknowledge your sinfulness, you make sure, I hope I have not made any deals with the spirit of evil in any small way this week and or this day, because if I have, I've got to repent. I'll go to Christ, ask His forgiveness, and start over, begin again. Secondly, we should value the Eucharist. Make it a priority to go to Mass. Do you know people will travel very far distances to go to a sports game? They'll spend lots of money on all the food that they have in the sports arena, and they won't do that for Holy Mass. Well, you got to make that a priority. If you knew for sure that Jesus Christ was coming to your town today, and it was a fact, He was actually going to appear there, you would be there. And probably your town would become the center of the universe. Everyone would want to be there, even just to say that they saw Jesus. They would do that so that they could tell their children and grandchildren, I was there when Jesus Christ came. Well, I got news for you. Christ does come to our cities and our towns in the Holy Mass. He is there. We got to make it a priority to go to Mass. Here's a little interesting case that you need to keep in mind. If you can afford to go on a vacation, and you do, make sure you've programmed into your vacation time for Holy Mass. Vacation is a good thing. Pope John Paul the Great used to say that often, that it's an important thing. But you don't go on vacation from God. Some people try to do that. They'll say, well, I've spent all this time in my regular life going to Mass and praying. I'm on vacation now. I'm just going to do whatever I want. No. No, because even then, the devil wants to make a deal with you. Make sure you go to Mass. Make it a priority in your schedule. And finally, be grateful for the gift of the Eucharist. It's the greatest gift that God our Father would give us. It's the gift of His own Son, Jesus. He's really there. Now, sometimes in life, we feel that life is unfair. We feel that we've been treated poorly in our life situation, that somehow people didn't treat us as well as everyone else was treated. We feel like we've fallen through the cracks of some justice, and everybody's been unfair to us, and our life is no good because of what others have done or failed to do to us. And we feel like everything is miserable. But you know something? If you have Christ in your life, if you're living in the light of Christ, free from sin, and you have the Eucharist, you've got everything. So if you value the Eucharist, that's going to lift you up above that feeling of being treated unfairly by the world. You know something? Every one of us goes through times that are very unfair. Every one of us in life is treated unjustly, unfairly, poorly. We're rejected. We're forgotten about by people who should remember us. But you don't want to live off of that. You got to live off of grace and truth. And Jesus Christ in the Eucharist gives us that grace and His truth. And so, brothers and sisters, for over 2,000 years, Catholics have been receiving the true bread from heaven, that food for eternal life, seeking Christ. The saints of God, the saints of our Lord Jesus, are the ones who excelled in living for the bread of heaven, in living a Eucharistic life, in living in the light of God. In the Eucharist, we have Jesus because He willed to be present in this way, and He willed to be present in this way because of His divine love, which is infinite. May we be grateful for this gift, live for this gift, and love the Lord Jesus in return. In this way, we shall be free from the temptation of evil, the deception of evil. We will see it for what it is, and we will be living in the bright light of truth. That truth, who is Jesus Christ Himself. God bless you.